What is a digital tax? I'm David Brancaccio. Over the weekend, the world's biggest economies agreed on a new global minimum tax rate of 15%. The G7 and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, want multinational companies paying some tax somewhere. This is not law yet. National legislatures, including the U.S. Congress, would have to decide. Another part of the agreement, a deal to push for a global digital tax. The host of our program, Marketplace Tech, is Molly Wood. She has this take.
The agreement will create a minimum tax on profits that companies earn by selling digital services, like advertising, mostly, but that don't have a physical presence in a country. It doesn't single out the American tech giants, but it applies to what the OECD calls the largest and most profitable multinational companies. So yes, Facebook, Google, Amazon, even Apple on profits from its app store. These companies have been battling digital tax plans in France, Spain, Italy, the UK, and the US has even threatened sanctions in response to countries that tax American tech giants on their digital profits on their turf. See, in the digital economy, anyone anywhere can be a customer. And if you're buying from Amazon in Spain, you're not buying from a Spanish retailer. Amazon makes profit but pays no taxes at all, not even real estate. No money stays in Spain. The deal does sort of throw big tech under the bus, but it would also supersede any local digital taxes. So it gets rid of the potential for a patchwork of tax regimes and creates a base rate for everyone to follow.
My colleague Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech. New research from the Retirement Equity Lab at New York's New School found that nearly 2 million people retired early during the pandemic, and in most cases, not by choice. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
The people we're talking about are in their mid to late 50s, years ahead of retirement age.
They were forced out of the labor market because their employers did not hire them back, or the employers are not hiring older workers.
Economist Teresa Ghilarducci at the New School says people without college degrees were forced out at higher rates than people with college degrees who are working longer. And for Black workers, it's even worse.
They have experienced the highest increase in the share retired before age 65 than any other of our work groups.
And these groups often don't have the opportunity to save for retirement while they're employed, says labor economist Kate Bond at the Washington Center for Equitable Growth.
So, for example, Black workers are less likely to have retirement savings plans offered at work, and it's really hard to save for retirement without that.
The report says we're going to see an increase in retirement inequality since these involuntary retirees face a higher risk of falling into poverty. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The S&P future is down 0.1%. The Dow future up slightly, 18 points. The $1.9 trillion stimulus the Biden administration labeled the American Rescue Plan from March of this year includes an unprecedented $20 billion for tribal governments, but tribal leaders are bracing themselves for challenges given what happened under pandemic stimulus passed under Donald Trump and the last Congress a year earlier. That was called the CARES Act. The Mountain West News Bureau's Savannah Marr reports.
Leaders of the Eastern Shoshone tribe in Wyoming are used to planning for every dollar that comes their way, but not last year.
The money came at us quick and it was a flurry.
That's Karen Snyder, the tribe's pandemic response coordinator. She says the Eastern Shoshone received close to $14 million in badly needed CARES Act aid, but the tribe had just 6 months to spend it.
I just don't think that deadline was ever realistic, nor was it conducive to us doing good planning.
Close to half the money was paid out directly to tribal citizens, and the tribe prepaid for materials and labor contracts to weatherize elders' homes ahead of the deadline. Then, just days before that deadline, Congress extended it by another year to the end of 2021.
Very counterproductive for them to wait till the final hour.
Biden's American Rescue Plan gives tribes through 2024 to spend their new aid money. Eric Henson researches reservation economics at Harvard. He says that timeline allows for spending on what tribal communities really need, improvements to healthcare, housing, and water infrastructure.
Because that's the platform upon which you can lift yourself up going forward.
But it's not yet completely clear what's allowed, And last year, Henson says tribes received little guidance about spending decisions. This time, he says,
Treasury should have a team of people in place who are equipped to field an inquiry like that pretty quickly.
And there was another problem with last year's CARES Act, the allocation formula used to divide the money. The tribes argued it relied on flawed federal data about each tribe's population, so many tribes lost out on millions in aid. Some successfully sued the federal government for their fair share. This time around, Karen Snyder says she's relieved the allocation formula will use self-reported tribal population numbers.
This is the biggest injection of funding into Indian country that's probably going to ever happen in my lifetime.
If the disbursement is done correctly, she says the money will be transformative. In Albuquerque, I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is saying that if the Biden administration's stimulus and infrastructure plans cause interest rates to rise a bit, so what? Let me get you her quote to Bloomberg News at the G7 meeting this weekend. If we ended up with a slightly higher interest rate environment, it would actually be a plus from society's point of view and the Fed's point of view, unquote. Now, stockholders may worry that higher rates may make bonds more attractive, but many savers, including people on fixed incomes, would like interest rates that are not zero and would bring higher returns. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.